Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
We're just going to open up the doors today because there's so many things going on right now in the landscape of sports that I just didn't want to narrow it down to one particular subject. So I just decided to just open up the doors and, hey, let's just have some open dialogue on what's what? What's what? Or should I say what's happening? That's the real topic of the conversation for today. What's happening? Because, man, you know, parents, we have to get away from being that angry sideline parent. And the only way I really and truly think we can get away from it is if we know more about what our children have gotten themselves into or what we have gotten our children into. That's why I say you need to connect with the Parents Coaching Parents Network, not just here on Blog Talk Radio each and every week at 3 p.m., but on Facebook at Parents Coaching Parents Network, Instagram and Twitter at PCP Network. And man, some of the dialogue, conversations, information, and all the great things that we've been able to share over the years have been game changers for many. You know, so I'm just saying, come on, parents, because this stuff about us being on the sidelines or jumping into a position of coaching and all of a sudden we want to argue every little call the referee made. Man, we'd be out there whining all day long if we had a flag football game for the little ones and the referee making every call. Really? We'd be out there all day just whining about what we thought should have happened. If that's the case, and I'm so serious about this, if that's the case, then parents, you need to be a referee. Go ahead, join the association. Get your little striped shirt together and start blowing your own whistle. Because you want to argue about everybody else's call. Make your own call. That's all I'm saying. Make your own call. If not, please let the referee do their job. Because what's going to end up happening, we get to the point where we push it. And next thing you know, you got folks that don't even want to deal with your children because they don't want to deal with you. Then what? Eventually, you're going to have to put on a striped shirt because ain't nobody else going to want to deal with your group because of the simple fact that they see you standing or sitting on the sideline. That's the reality of it. But I went into that, folks, but that wasn't really what I wanted to cover today. There's so many other things I want to touch on, but I wanted to hit that piece right out the gate because that was something I witnessed firsthand myself yesterday. And I was like, are these adults for real? Are they for real? Are they serious? Why? So, enough said about that. you know, we can't open up the Parents Coach, the Parents Network show here on Blog Talk Radio without first reaching out to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, who put this little piece together that I call the College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the diploma out the pen, but I'm hate dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
He's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. That's how he do. He's making smart cool. And those words, each and every time that that young man gets to echo those words, I can't do nothing but just sit back in awe, because that's the direction I want all our children to focus, all our children to place their sights in that particular direction, to make smart cool. But that's how he did it, at the University of Harvard. The University of Harvard. Well, folks, today I want to talk about, something that I just recently seen pop up in the news over the last couple of days. This senator out of North Carolina, Senator Richard Burr. Now, Senator Richard Burr, back in 2019, just put it out there. Just said, hey, if athletes start to get paid for their name, image, and likeness, then he's going to push forward to make sure that they start taxing their scholarships. Placing a tax on their scholarships. So this Senator Burr out of North Carolina, who was once a former athlete back in the day of somebody's life, not sure how long ago, I think it's somewhere around the 70s or the 80s, somewhere around there. But this Senator Burr decided that the name, image, and likeness conversation needs to be taxed. If an athlete makes over $20,000, then that should be taxed. Wow. Wow. Is that really what we're really trying to do right now with our kids? You know, I'm kind of puzzled about that. Because it took forever and a day just to get to this point. And so now you want to take that particular point that they got to, and now you want to throw a tax on it? You want to tax them if they make over 20, if they make, here's the conversation. If they make over $20,000 from name, image, and likeness, then you want to include their scholarship and have them pay taxes. Well, here's my argument. Here's my argument. Because now you're talking about including their scholarship to have them pay taxes, but they don't have access to that scholarship money. That's not money that's readily available to them. Now, I can see the name, image, and likeness fund, but I can't see the scholarship fund. So how do you incorporate the scholarship funds into this conversation and say that this is a legitimate thing for them? I'm really puzzled by this because of the simple fact that, again, they don't have access to their scholarship funds. I could see if they had access to it and, you know, the option was out there, okay, well, hey, if you decide to drop out, you still get this check because this was the remaining balance on your scholarship and you can get this check for X amount of dollars. So I could see if that was the case. But with that not being the case, then why would you say that you're going to tax their scholarship funds? Puzzled by that. But that's the ideal and that's the mindset of this North Carolina senator by the name of Richard Burr. Now, in looking at Burr's track record, Burr has had some things going on with himself. But I'm not here to slander the man. I'm not here to, you know, just tell you what you should think about his conversation. I want to hear your thoughts, your views. Or should athletes, student athletes, child athletes, excuse me, be taxed if during their name, image, and like contract, it takes them over the $20,000 mark? Should they? So basically what you're telling me, they go over $20,000. Tax man going to jump in their pocket, and he going to take about $5,000 of that. Then they're going to end up paying taxes. But hold on now. When the company or organization brings these students in to do these endorsements, isn't this money already being recorded and being taxed anyway? I need you legalese out there to join in on this conversation. Or you folks that are tax savvy, join in on this conversation. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Because there's some questions out there that there seem to be some gaps. I go into a conversation or a contract as a child athlete. I go into a contract with a sponsor. So is it the funds coming from the sponsor already being taxed? If not, why not? Why you got to wait until it get into the hands of the athletes and now you want to decide to tax it? Help me understand. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Because with that being said, you know, I know that there are a number of lucrative contracts out there, the majority of them coming from football players. And believe it or not, the other major revenue sport is basketball, and they're at the bottom of the list. the highest percentage of NLI deals, name, image, and likeness deals that have been stricken thus far has all been college football players. With basketball bringing up the rear. But them are the two major revenue sports. So any other sport that's in that mix, although they are scholarship sports, talking about at the Division I level, some institutions and those programs or that particular sport isn't making anything. So I guess my question is, what's the ultimate goal that this Senator B-U-R-R, Burr, is trying to accomplish? What is the ultimate goal he's trying to accomplish? And why is he so determined that there should be a tax placed upon these athletes? 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Join in on this conversation. You want to talk about name, image, and likeness? You're interested in knowing a little bit more about it? Or you coming in to share your insight? I want to know why this North Carolina senator is now considering or putting together some legislation to tax scholarships. What are we doing? Why? Why do our children, every time they think they're trying to get ahead, run into another obstacle, get pushed back two more steps? Help me understand. 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. I'm just saying here at the Pasco, the Paris Network, folks, we need to know. And the only way we're going to know is you sharing your insight on what's going on. Because at the end of the day, it's all about our children. But at the top of the show, I opened up talking about something else that caught my attention and bothered me a little bit. Was parents. Come on, parents. We have automatically been labeled. And the labels are not positive labels. We as sports parents, we as parents that have children involved in the game, most of the time when they see us coming, they run and try to go the other way. They'll deal with our children all day, but don't want to deal with us. And when we thought we were getting some momentum of changing that perception of us and understanding that what we are doing is all within love and care, then it flares back up again. Parents acting out. Parents showing up. Parents not knowing how to conduct themselves. Come on now, parents. Come on. Let's get it together. And most of that, is, like I said before, most of that is due to a simple thing. We're not savvy on the industry that we have our children involved in. So we're trying to make calls from the stand. We're trying to make calls from the other side of the fence. We're upset because it's not going the way and our children are not in the winning column. They look like they're heading towards the losing column. Okay. If the child wins, they win. If they lose, they lose. The question is, did they get something out of the competition? Did they get something out of the contest? Was it a situation where they went out there, they had a good time, they got something out of the contest? Whether or not it is, okay, now I know how to stop a left-handed defender. He got me the first couple times, but now I know how to stop him. I cut off that left hand. Or now I know how to take the two hole. If the coach wants me to run a particular route, I know what that route looks like. I know where the ball should be when I turn and start looking for the ball. I know what a penalty kick is and how it's being administered. Those are things I'm talking about. Is your child learning something during that competition? And if he or she has learned something, it has been a successful event. Because you can't base everything on wins and losses. Cannot. We cannot base everything on wins and losses because somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. You know the deal. You know the drill. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And if your child goes through their entire life and has never lost a game, the minute that they experience that for the very first time is going to be devastating. What are we really and truly doing for our children? If they go through their entire life and they lost every game and they come across that very first win, true, it's going to be overwhelming. But every game that they lost, if they came away and they were still satisfied with their performance, and they knew that they had a few more things that they needed to tweak, it's all good. It's all good. But I want you to think about this here also, parents. The level of embarrassment that your children suffer while you're out there acting out. I was going to use something else, but I'll just stick with acting out. Same thing that you tell them not to do, you're doing it. And you get tossed out the gym. Or you're the coach and you get tossed from the sideline. And you then try to justify to your child why you were tossed. Really? You just keep on moving. Somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. Don't embarrass your child. Let your child have fun while they're out there, especially if they're doing their younger days, their younger stages in life. It should be all about fun anyway. It shouldn't be about that stress and the child walk off the court crying and carrying on because they lost a recreational league 8U football game. They walking off the field crying, totally distraught, whole day is ruined. Really? And then you just stood on the sidelines and just acted straight out, pure D, unadulterated fool. You was using every expletive that you could possibly think of, stuff that wasn't even said yet. You was putting it together. And you out there just saying stuff that you would later on regret. But you were so caught up in the game. And your child's out there playing a 6U flag football game where the end results are still going to be 0-0 on the official scorecard. And you fussing. because you said the referees are cheating. Cheating for what? Where's the win? Help me understand now. Where is this win? Parents, we go to the extreme for the wrong things. I'm hoping that you're one of those parents that when you go to that level of extreme, you're doing the same thing for his or her grades in the classroom. When the teacher call you, I hope you're showing that same bit of enthusiasm and not going up there saying that somebody's trying to label your child, somebody's trying to hinder your child or set your child back. No, why? I need you to put that same level of enthusiasm into each and every situation when your child is out there playing. Each and every situation. Not just when it's for your convenience. Not just when you think he or she is going to lose a particular sporting event. No. Let's add that same enthusiasm to the classroom. And maybe if you start supporting some of the teachers and letting them know, you know, some of the things that you know about your child that can help the teacher get their point across. Now we're looking at a win-win situation. But we can't continue to go out there week after week, month after month, year after year, and embarrass ourselves and our children at these various sporting competitions. We can't do that. That's not helpful to us. That's not helpful to our child. What is your child really and truly learning? Oh, I need to fight for my cause. Fight for your cause? Well, if you're going to fight for your cause, let's fight this conversation that this senator out of North Carolina has thrown up. Let's pull together, work with and through each other to fight that situation. What are you talking about? We're talking about this, he wanting to tax if your child is making over $20,000 in name, image, and likeness. He wants to tax their scholarship, include their scholarship, and hit them up for some taxes. Again, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Always looking to talk to you and see what's going on. But we're going to step away for a hot second, and then when we come back, folks, we're going to finish this conversation. Hopefully we'll have somebody to join in on the conversation because, hey, I'm going to say what I got to say. I want to hear what you have to say. We'll be right back, folks.
I need it!
Hey, Sean! Let's go showdown!
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
How you doing, Mr. Scott? This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBA. We are pretty phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA.
Guide, athletes, scholarship, mentor, and elevate. Parents coaching, parents network, know the game.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is...
Guide, athletes,
scholarship, mentor,
and elevate. Parents coaching, parents
network,
know the game.
We're back. Folks, we've been talking about a couple of different things. You know, one is the senator out of North Carolina, Senator Burr, who wants to place a tax on athletic scholarships. If your child is involved in name, image, and likeness, and he or she makes more than $20,000, this senator wants to include their scholarship into that income and look at that as being taxable income. Now, here's where I have a problem at. Now, again, I need to hear your thoughts. But here's where my problem comes in. Because if we're talking about their scholarship, those are funds that athlete has no control over. Those are funds that your athlete may not even know that particular number down to the last dollar. So, you know, you're at an institution and you have a scholarship and it's about $40,000 a year and you make another $25,000 on name, image, and likeness, he's going to hit you in the head for an income of $65,000. That's going to be your tax number, that you made 65 grand that year. Is that right? Is that fair? Okay. But you have another athlete that he or she may be on a partial, a non-revenue sport. But just so happened they get a name, image, and likeness deal. So they may get about $10,000 a year. But they may be able to land a deal in name, image, and likeness with someone for about $21,000. So now that athlete gets knocked in the head for $31,000. Again, is that fair? Is that right? I need some of you legalese and some of you folks that know this tax situation, chime in on this conversation. Because at the end of the day, folks, you know our children are stepping into undiscovered territories when we start talking about these situations with these taxes. Many of us haven't even mastered it to maximize our situation each and every year. But many of us look at the situation from the perspective of, and I say many of us being adults, look at the situation from the perspective of, well, that we should be getting a refund every year. Yes, you do. You know you do. Every year, you look to figure out how you're going to maximize your refund. How you going to make that refund number grow. every year. I prefer myself to break even. I don't owe you nothing. You don't owe me nothing. Get out my face. That's the way I see it. But that's just me. So how do you think our children are now going to take this on? So our children are now going to have to hire, you know, some tax person to help them understand this and help them get through this. Not unless the institution is going to take this on and help them with this. I don't see that happening, but that will be the right thing to do. So where are we at in the long run? Where are we at in the long run? Because if this guy is able to try to push this legislation through, and all of a sudden now our children are forced with having to pay taxes, this situation can get kind of ugly. Kind of ugly. Kind of ugly. And, you know, I wouldn't want that to happen to any of our children, because at the end of the day, they're just out there trying to get their education. That's all they're doing. They're out there trying to get their education the best way they know how. And if somebody came along and offered them a scholarship based upon their athletic ability, what's wrong with that? My question is, are you still taxing the English major that just wrote a book? Still taxing the music major that just wrote a whole, composed a whole group of songs for an artist, sold them to an artist, and now that artist is making money off them songs, and that English major, that music major is collecting some royalties. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. How is this going fair across the board? And, you know, so you put it out there for these Division I athletes. What about Division II and Division III? And I find it hard to believe that Division II and Division III athletes aren't going to get any name, image, and likeness deals. Because of the simple fact that many of those kids are just as marketable. Many of those young men and young ladies go on to play at the professional levels. Let's not ignore that issue. So if you're going to start taxing these Division I athletes, what about your high school kids that fall into some of these name, image, and likeness deals? Because every state out there does not have something listed saying that they cannot. There isn't any language stating that they cannot benefit from their name, image, or likeness. The NCAA had that out there, and they tagged it under the name of amateurism. Yes. So where does that go now? You can't receive any of this name, image, and likeness funds until you are accepted into the institution. I'm thinking about the young man from Texas that recently decided to opt out of his senior year because he had a lucrative, very lucrative deal, and decided to, as they say, take his talent to Ohio State as a quarterback. So was he not able to touch that deal until he was actually signed with the institution? or do you have to already be on the field? What are the stipulations? But see, these are things and these are questions that they're not educating our athletes on, parents. So we, as that first line of defense for our children, have to educate ourselves and become that advocate for our children. We can't become an advocate if we're getting kicked out of the gym. We can't become that advocate if folks are looking at us as being the prime example for poor sportsmanship. So all this sideline rhetoric and all this other animosity and confusion and drama that you put on each and every week on the sideline as you watch your young child play, come on now, let's get that under control. We have a whole lot more things to deal with and be supportive of than something of that nature. Get that game over with, move on to bigger and better things. I've always taught my children, ain't no need to argue with the referee. What you argue with the referee for? How many times have you ever seen in all your sporting life, how many times have you ever seen a referee change a call? Very rarely, and they're not going to change the call because of the simple fact that they just made that call. They sold that call, and now what? That call is sold to the point of you are now having to deal with whatever that call was that was made. And in the end, it is what it is. Okay, if you made a mistake, you pick it up, you get on back down the court, and you go for the next situation. Make up for lost time. Make up for that issue. Again, if you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Join the conversation. Let us know what you're thinking about, what's on your mind, and how we here at the Parents Coach Parents Network can help you in any way possible. That's what it's all about. Help us help you, folks. We're here to help the next generation of parents become their best at being an advocate for their child. That's the whole premise behind just putting together this here organization, Parents Coach Parents Network. And I've been luckily able to connect with parents from various places and other organizations that's doing like-minded things. And from time to time, you'll hear them here on the Parents Coach Parents Network because it's all about helping us help you or helping the next generation of parents. And if we can do it collectively, we're going to do it. If we think we're going to do it individually, hey, go ahead and do it. I'm here to support them as well as they're here to support us here at the Parents Coach Parents Network. But at the end of the day, parents, we got to clean up our image because our image is looking rather questionable, and we can't have that. I would ask you, I would plead with you, let's not do that. Let's not go backwards to build a positive look on sports parenting. We are the face that they like to see come in the gym because they know things are going to be orderly. We can't be the disruptor. Let your child disrupt when they get out there on the court and do their thing. That's disrupting the thoughts of the other team because the other team's coming out there to win. But let's not have it as us being the disruptors. Parents, we can't. But if we're going to disrupt something, let's disrupt these folks that don't want to give our children fair and equal opportunities. Let's disrupt this conversation about NCAA versus Austin and start asking for degrees, meaningful degrees, things that at the end of the day, when your child graduates from that particular institution, They have a meaningful degree. They can step right into their workplace and not still have to sit on the back burner because they didn't get this certification or this licensure or whatever. Meaningful degrees. That's NCAA versus Austin when the Supreme Court came down and said, okay, fine, NCAA, take the restrictions off these institutions. Allow them to offer these various things to parents and as in educational benefits. Educational benefit. That is not talking about name, image, and likeness. That's talking about educational benefit. And I don't mean just educational benefits being, oh, well, we'll give your child a new laptop every year. Really? Any Division I institution out there should be able to at least do that much, especially those that are major revenue sports at their institution, and they're bringing in the big dollars, and they got marketable television deals and so on and so forth. Come on. Shouldn't be no question about no educational-related benefits or just being to offer a laptop to my child because he's on the team each year. Make sure that he or she gets their real estate license. Make sure that he or she gets all the certifications that they need to have if they're studying computer science. At least enough to get them in the door. You got a computer science degree, but you're leaving some things on the table. Leaving a whole lot of things on the table. A-plus certification, ISSP certification, the whole works. And you know, anybody that knows anything about computer science, know that when you walk in the door, they want you to have all of these additional certifications, Unix, whatever else that is. Come on now. So if we want to be that advocate for our child, if we want to be that disruptor on the sideline, let's start disrupting some of those things that we know, without a doubt, can help our child have their own personal level of success at the end of the day. Their own personal level of success. That's all. That's all we're asking for. Nothing special. Nothing new. Nothing overwhelming. Because our children deserve just as much as the next child. You can't have a student that comes to the institution and they're majoring in English or whatever. They're out there writing books, pulling off bestsellers. And you got an athlete that you're complaining because he or she made a couple dollars. Huh? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. Well, see, I didn't have a whole lot of folks to join us today. So, folks, you know, I'm going to hit you with a couple things that I've been holding on to here. And just really want to hear your thoughts on it. And I ran these pieces a while back, and they talked about various athletes. Check it out.
Issues collide with power and fame, and if that comes with blowback from the rich and famous or the trolls of individual teams, so be it. I have altered my mentions a little in the last couple of weeks and the notifications I get from Twitter. So if you guys want to tweet at me, I will see it. If reporting difficult for guys. And I had all these guys' cell phone numbers. I was marching in the streets of Brooklyn with them. I was meditating on Zoom with players in the middle of COVID. So I'm not saying I'm their buddies, and they might not like what came out, but I was honest with them.
How did you get the trust of these people?
It just took time. They basically gave me a press pass and said, make friends. You know, we're not going to treat you any differently than any other beat reporter, ask questions at the press conference and get to know these people. And so soon enough, I just kind of showed up everywhere, every day, you know, hung out in practice on the sidelines, and but also at these guys' apartments, at their favorite restaurants, at their hangouts, their bars, their secret bar that I knew they hung out with, helped me reconstruct scenes of them all going there for a very weed-heavy seance after Kobe died. And so reconstructing these scenes based on their trust, it took, you know, 10 more interviews just for one little particular, but they kind of got me there and told me the beginning of a story that I nailed down into a lot of scenes in this, you know, accident.
What's KD like when he's high?
He's the same. He's pretty chill. He only smokes in the car because he doesn't want to, I don't know if it's get caught or that's just his happy place. But yeah, the bodyguard / housemate who got in trouble for, like, you know, pushing away PJ Tucker in the playoffs, he's just kind of around and takes him down to the car and they blaze and he comes back and he chills or goes out, but he doesn't do.
And I'm curious who's going to not support what it is you're saying. I'm curious if KD might hit you with some of the stuff that he's hit Jackie McMullen with, where this framing makes it seem like we're not friends, like we're friends, but we're not friends. It sounds like you got a lot closer to KD than anybody does.
He wasn't around that much. I wouldn't say I'm friends with anybody, nor do I want to be, because I'm a journalist who has, you know, no vested interest in my relationship with Rich Kleiman in 2 years. And so I can do, you know, diligent reporting on his investments in Silicon Valley entrepreneurs saying, you know, and doesn't, you know, get in his face about it like her did.
They're totally left alone. The power has reached a point where these brands and these economies, these guys are answering to largely no one.
Yeah, a very high-ranking official with the Nets who had a lot to do with the money said basically there's a blank check as soon as these guys got here, whether that's buying a girlfriend or a girlfriend on the side of a house in California for a week, whether that's just putting up money for the boys and the homeboys and equipment for random shit, they're totally cool with that. And so I think that's what makes the Nets a modern franchise. It's not their fancy practice facility or their defensive schemes. It's just that they're willing to put up with this. And maybe the Clippers weren't able to do that when they kind of pulled that, you know, clean sweep 2-point to bay. And, you know, I talked to Steve Nash for a while about this, and he said he took KD out for a drink when he was just kind of sick of KD, you know, being up in his DMs, the burner accounts and all that. And he takes him out, he kind of prepares the lesson, and he says to KD, you know what I respect about LeBron? I respect that when he got to Miami, he got sick of the narrative, sick of the haters, all the talk. So you know what he did? And KD kind of sits there like, what's that, coach? You know, has a sip of his drink, and Kerr says, LeBron just said, can I curse on here?
Yes.
LeBron just said, fuck it. And then he was great again. Same with Michael, with Kobe, all the greats. So they had to say, fuck it. And then they were all on that next level. So you know what you have to do? And KD leans back and says, what's that, coach? Go out and be you. You just got to say, fuck it, like LeBron did. But then, even though the Warriors kind of rolled from there, Steve's telling me that, you know, he tried to get KD to stop looking at his phone all the time, to stop, you know, beefing with Draymond and then beefing with kids on Twitter. And he said, you know, I tried, but I failed. I could just see the strain on his face every day, especially that third year, just all day. But it was really, he was staring into that phone all the time. So he can't get over this. I mean, he says he's beyond it, but he's out here having, you know, GOAT top five debates and making sure he's in that conversation. So I don't think he's really changed since the Bay. And the only difference is that, you know, Brooklyn lets him.
Matt, give us something about Kevin Durant that would surprise us.
He smokes even more weed than you would think. and I was at his house at 1 o'clock in the morning. The entire place just reeks. All of this season.
He was smoking the entire time, right?
Well, I think KD would be the one who was probably smoking while Kyrie was burning the sage. I think that's. I kind of knocked down the door, made friends with these guys, and asked them questions that your average beat reporter refuses to ask. I mean, I was asking about race, the anthem, police shootings in the locker room while other guys are asking about X's and O's. And I think that was why Kyrie and I had a weird bond over real talk, to the point where he's up in my DMs sending me 67-page Supreme Court rulings on indigenous land rights. And I'm like, okay. And this is at the same time when I'm asking him, did you just skip the national anthem? Because I was just...
Folks, I played those handful of clips just to show you that even the elite athletes at the professional level have folks out there that have other intentions, other purposes, other goals, other than being truly supportive of our children. So I played that handful of clips right there just to share that, just to show you our value as parents is priceless. Because we must be our child's biggest advocate. As we say so often, we must be our child's very first agent in the sports industry. Now, do we have to go out and negotiate contracts and things? No. But there's other little things that we do in grooming our children if they're involved in sports. Making sure that they're aware of trolls like these clowns that just had this full conversation about these young men after they befriended them, and then turn around, if you notice it somewhere in one of the clips, that said, oh, I'm not friends with none of them. No, but opening up, you said you befriended them. You hung out with them. They let you into their circle. But then you turn around and quickly say, I'm not friends with none of them. I don't want to be friends with none of them. So that's what I'm saying, folks. All in all, at the end of the day, we must be our child's biggest advocate, whether or not we're dealing with clowns like you just heard, or whether or not we're dealing with folks like Senator Burr out of North Carolina, or whether or not we're dealing with situations on the sideline. Our children need our support. Our children need us to be their biggest advocate. Without a doubt. Folks, this has been M.H. Scott, host of the Parents Coach, the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. So until next Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, we out of here. Take us out, Keith.